He tried to stay calm as Namrin came closer and closer. He didn't seem dangerous, casually approaching you as if he just wanted to chat. But his aura was still intimidating. When he towered up in front of you, looking down on you with an indescribable movement in his eyes, you were tempted to take a step back, bring some distance between you and him before you remembered that he had you cornered against the countertop. You couldn't escape. A cold finger touched your chin and then familiar, definitely unhuman sensation on your skin made your head jog away from it. But Namjoon didn't allow you to escape his touch. His fingertips ran upwards, over your cheek until they reached your hairline. "You're so warm," he whispered, roughly as if something was hard on him. "It's been a while since I felt a human skin." You stared at the demon, breathless and unsure about what was happening. Warmth was dancing in Namjoon's eyes, but then he seemed to sense something or someone because he ripped himself away from you and took two quick steps back, twirling around to see who it was. Hozik was standing in the doorframe. If he had seen something, he simply ignored it and stepped into the room. You couldn't tell if he was aware of what was going on, and he turned to Namjoon immediately. "Jimin wants to talk to her," he reported, and the leader clenched his fist. "He's in no position to make demands," he pressed, and Hozik seemed almost as if he wanted to oppose but didn't dare to. "Let me speak to him," you interrupted, before your mind could decide that it was a good idea, and both devils turned towards you. "You knew she would say that," Hozik said to Namjoon with an amused undertone, to which the latter quietly growled in annoyance. "Fine," he finally gave in and waved him off. "Take her to his room." Hozik chuckled. "Sure thing," he replied, and while Namjoon left the room in an almost hurried manner, he patiently waited until you had gathered yourself enough to follow him into the entrance hall and up the stairs. "Jimin?" Hozik knocked on the door, acting as if the other couldn't very clearly hear a clumsy human step approaching his room. "Aham," was the answer. "Come in." Hozik opened the door and held it open for a while. You entered a surprisingly light room given the fact that dark gray and silver were the dominating colors. Jimin was sitting on his bed with crossed legs and bare feet, diamond resting on his lap. The demon seemed very calm and casual, wearing nothing but a white shirt and some comfortable pants. "Mia," he smiled, a striking opposite to the time you had last seen him. Stained with blood, glowing red eyes and fangs that were just a few inches away from ripping out your throat. A shiver ran down your spine at the memory, but you ignored it. Jimin, though, seemed to notice and his eyes darkened a bit, seeming almost sad. "Hozik?" Jimin turned to the fellow demon. "Would you leave us alone for a moment?" The other hesitated, his glance searching yours as if he wanted to ask you how you felt about Jimin's inquiry. You simply nodded and Hozik turned away with a last concerned glance towards you. "I'll be in front of the door," he stiffly said and then left the room, closing the door behind him. Jimin sighed. "Sit?" he asked and patted the spot next to him. When he approached the bed, you noticed two fine white marks around his wrists. The devil noticed your glance and chuckled. "Hyunghee made those," he answered your unspoken question, rubbing over the glowing lines. "They are shackles to keep me confined in this room for some time. Don't worry, they don't hurt." "I wasn't worried about that," you heard yourself say, voice raspy. "You deserve some pain." Jimin's figure tensed. "I do," he murmured, before he averted his glance. Damon opened his silvery eyes and his ears twitched as he stretched before leaving Jimin's lap and coming over to you. Rubbing his head against your arm, you managed a weak smile. "Hello, Damon," he whispered, feeling Jimin's glance now returning to you as you rubbed the cat's demon's head. "I missed you too." Damon purred as an answer and climbed onto your lap, curling up on your thighs. It didn't seem like he was going to sleep though. His eyes were still open and he attentively watched and listened to you. "You presumed the two of you," Listen, Mia, Jimin finally spoke up. I know I've probably messed up, but I still wanted to apologize for my doing. His dark eyes were honest, not even a hint of redness within them. I did wrong. Yes, you did. Your voice was toneless and sounded much sharper than you wanted it to be, but you couldn't help it. You devils have no feeling for what's right and what's wrong. And under your breath, you hissed, "Bastards." Jimin turned his head and looked out the window into a darkness that your eyes couldn't penetrate. "We are," he said, sounding soft, "and you have no idea what we are like all the other times, with other sacrifices." His posture was so stiff one could almost think he was a statue. But then every 75 years or so, a special soul comes along. He finally turned back to you and his glance was so intense it almost forced you to lower your glance. A special soul that defies all the odds in our devilish nature and makes us feel better despite the misery that we're in. He paused shortly and let the word sink in. "We're not good, no." He then continued, an almost sad smile on his lips, "but you are, Mia. And that's the reason why you're still alive and why Yoongi protects you." His smile widened. He has a weakness for good people. "You don't, apparently." You commented tonelessly and Jimin's grimaced. "Low blow," he said, but it didn't seem like he was hurt. Instead, he simply shrugged. "Yoongi and Jin have tons of experience. I'm old, but not that old. At least from the perspective of a devil, I haven't learned to appreciate the living as much as others." The way he said it showed that he didn't seem too bothered by it, and it made you sick to your stomach. You stood up to leave, Diamond sliding off your lap and complaining with a tiny growl. "I'm going to forgive you," you said, looking at Jimin for the last time, "because I know that's in your nature, and it's my purpose." You paused. "But it doesn't undo the things you did." Jimin smiled, sweetly as usual. "I know," he softly replied. "It's okay." His contradicting change of mind from remorseful and harmless to unbothered and cold just confused you more, and that's why you simply opened the door and left the room. Ozik was leaning against the wall across the door and looked at you as he closed the door. "That went well," he commented, but you didn't know if he meant it or not. "I guess," was the only thing you said as you turned away and walked back to your room. You needed some time alone. Time skipped a little. After a long hot shower, which didn't only rinse the dust off your skin but also helped to wash all the thoughts and feelings out of your mind, you plopped down on your bed and almost immediately fell asleep. Despite all the stuff that had been happening to you, you had a dreamless, exhausted sleep that lasted for what felt like eternity. But it didn't realize it was probably closer to a day. When you woke up again, your head was fuzzy and it took you longer than usual to properly wake up. A glass of water was sitting next to you on the night table, and only after a few sips of the cold drink did you realize that you hadn't put it there. Someone else had entered your room while you were asleep. While the thought would have sent shivers down your spine, only a short time ago you were used to the ever-looming presence of the devils by now. You finished the water and then slowly made your way into the bathroom to freshen up. As if the time in this cave had finally taken its toll on your body, all of your muscles were protesting every movement you attempted to make. Therefore, it took you a long time to wash up, slip into some clothes and leave your bedroom. The mansion was lying quiet, as usual, and dark as usual, as you made your way down the stairs and peeked into the dinner room. There was breakfast arranged on the table, for which you were thankful, because you were in no mood to prepare something for yourself. Yet the room as well as the kitchen were empty. Half disappointed, half relieved, you sat down to have some food. You didn't like you could have something heavy, and the unusual silence was buzzing in your ears. Whether it was the fact that you rarely ate anything down here anymore, or whether your body longed for some sunlight and warmth, you didn't know. But as soon as you attempted to stand up from the table to drag yourself back to your bed, convincing yourself that this was nothing, you felt your vision go black. The last thing you heard, after all your other senses had already failed, was the rustle of clothes and a silent huff. Then you fell into all-consuming darkness. Time skipped. She is fine. The voice seemed familiar, but you couldn't tell who it was exactly, a low growl. She's clearly not fine. It was tempting to just act as if you were asleep and shut out the whole world, but an invisible force made you open your eyes and blink as they readjusted to the weird light that was surrounding you. Water. You croaked, and the other two figures standing next to you quickly turned around to face you. Thanks, Lucifer, the second voice mumbled while the other just breathed a deep sigh of relief. At least she's alive. Water. You repeated yourself, your throat was so scratchy that your voice almost gave out. With a snip of his fingers, the first figure you knew it was Namjoon, made a huge glass of water appear on the right nightstand. A nightstand you now realize as you rolled onto your side to reach for the glass, you didn't know. The demon seemed to have transferred you to a different room. The sheets also felt different on your skin, almost silky, and after another glance around while you chugged that water, you realized it was Taeyong's. As your eyes now adjusted to the dim light, you grew aware of the owner of the room leaning against the wall across from the bed, eyes piercing through you from the shadows. She is dying, he stated calmly, unimpressed as usual, and the other two interrupted their quiet talk and turned towards him. Silence filled the room for a while before Yoongi spoke up to reply to the younger. His voice sounded restrained. I know, he pressed.
Why only now, though? Namjoon asked. Crossing his arms in front of his chest, he eyed you seemingly deep in thought.
She's been here for what? Half a month? The symptoms are late. Taeyong snickered, but it sounded better.
How would he know?
He spat, pushing himself off the wall. It's not like another one of them left for half a month down here. Yoongi has... Calm down. He hushed both of them. Before we find out why, we should try to understand what we can do for her. He turned towards you and stepped closer, ignoring the heated glances Namjoon and Taeyong exchanged. Mia? He gained your attention, now carefully sitting down on the edge of the bed. Is there anything you need? In your weakened state, you weren't able to act as tough as defiant or as normal. Tears started pooling in your eyes and you couldn't prevent a silent sob. I want to see the sun. You cried, emotion suddenly washing over you, and buried your face in your hands. A tiny part of you deep down quietly complained about how embarrassing this all was. But your weak body wasn't able to hold back anymore. The dam broke and all the sadness, grief and anger that had been accumulating since you set your foot into this cave broke out all at once. I want to see the sun, the moon, the grass, I want to hear the birds. Tears were now running down your face without you being able to stop them. I want to go home. The devil stood there as if they were frozen, glances out of wide open eyes resting on your shaking figure as you cried yourself to sleep in their presence. Even when your breath had calmed down again, it was interrupted by a few hiccups and sobs, and tears were still glistening in your lashes. The demons still stared at your pale face and tried to pull themselves together. They had seen a lot of crying humans in their life, but somehow this was different. Finally, Yoongi stood up, careful not to shift the mattresses so he didn't wake you. She's breaking, he softly said, and it sounded as if he regretted it. She's not made for a life down here, however much some of us wish for it. Taeyong looked at him curiously. Do you, pride? Yoongi didn't reply. His glance was glued to your face. Namjoon growled lowly and regained his comrade's attention. I told you this would happen. He spoke through gritted teeth, seeming agitated. What are you going to do now? Yoongi sighed. For once he seemed helpless. I don't know, he mumbled. And the leader replied with a big hiss before turning around and leaving the room with big steps. Then figure it out.